In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Lent is the season of spiritual struggle. The church takes on a fast, whether by restricting the amounts of food we ingest at certain periods of the day, or by restricting certain entertainments we occupy our minds with. We sacrifice our time in these areas to turn to the Lord's word in prayer. Last week we began Lent with Invocabit Sunday, where we called upon and invoked Jesus to help us. Specifically, we call upon him to help us in our spiritual battles with Satan. So our first Sunday, Jesus was our friend, our ally, someone who fought against the great enemy for us in the wilderness and with us in our lives today. But this Sunday, Jesus takes on a bit of a different posture to a sinner's time of need. Rather than appearing as our friend, being quick to help in our time of need, Jesus seems to be slow to help. This week it's almost as if God presents himself as our enemy. Jacob wrestled with God in the Old Testament reading. Paul promises suffering and commands Christians to boast in them. And the Canaanite woman sort of wrestles with Jesus to get his mercy. The second Sunday in Lent is called Reminiscere, which means remember. But what is it that we remember in Lent? Well, as the introit directs us, it's not that we remember, but we implore God to remember his mercy, his promises. His promises that have been promised to his children throughout all generations. And that's what the Canaanite woman from the gospel reading did. She cried out to God, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, my daughter severely demon-possessed." You'd think Jesus would give her the time of day. She came to Jesus with the perfect confession of who Jesus was and what he came to do. She confessed his divinity and his office as the Messiah. So she came and asked Jesus to do his work as the Messiah and free her daughter from the prince of demons. But Jesus ignored her plea. It almost seems as if Jesus lacked compassion, which is something we'd never say about Jesus. But here, Jesus let a good confession, a strong faith, a righteous prayer endure the suffering of waiting. But here begins the test. If Jesus ignores her or tries to dismiss her plea, what will she do? Will she give up and go home? Will she eventually conclude, "Well, I guess he can't help me," and leave? As the gospel continues, we see that the Canaanite woman just won't give up. She keeps holding God to his promises. She knew God's promises that the Messiah would come for both the Jews and the Gentiles, that he will come and set the captives free, including her daughter who's afflicted by demons. That's why she keeps trying to get to Jesus. She knew God's promises were for her, and that God is faithful to his promises. So why did Jesus delay his help for her? Well, to understand what's happening here, we must read the epistle reading to see the situation with the woman described. Paul says, "We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So the silence from God led to the perseverance of faith for the woman. Her faith endured through the struggle with this interaction with Jesus, and it produced a godly character in her. Finally, it resulted in an unshakable hope in what God promised her. That's why Jesus says to her, "How great is your faith?" The Canaanite woman shows us what can happen to us in our Christian lives. At times it may seem like our experiences don't line up with what God has promised. We call upon God in prayer, expressing our frustrations and needs, calling God to remember His promises and to not forsake the needs of His children. In that way, we're like Jacob and the Canaanite woman. We wrestle with God. We're tested by Him. And by a faith which holds God to His promises, faith and perseveres and wells up with the expectation that God will deliver His promises. It's only a matter of time. So we must understand, what are God's promises that we should hold Him to? Certainly, we can look at the Lord's Prayer. The Lord promises to bring the kingdom, His will, to provide our daily bread, to be with us in times of temptation. But what about delivering us from evil? That's the promise of God that the Canaanite woman recognized. She asked the Lord to fulfill that promise for her daughter's sake. And even when her prayer went ignored, her faith held God to His promises. For us, there may be times when it seems God ignores our prayers, or that He's ignoring our pleas for help when a bad situation goes unresolved. But if we don't receive from God the mercies for which we ask, what will we do? Will we give up faith? Will we try and find some other solution since God doesn't seem to be helping? Will we wait for the Lord? Why does God delay His mercy in moments of need? Satan would have us give up on God. Though our modern world may deny such realities, his demons are constantly at work to root out our faith. He'd have us find no practicality in prayer, patience, or waiting for God's mercy. He'd have us to see trusting in God's clear and plain word as foolish, inviting us to superimpose our own thoughts and minds over the texts of Scripture. But if this is what we do, we're left following a different God, which is what Satan wants you to do. But when our faith is tested by Satan, what will you do? Will faith persevere or give up? The way the Canaanite woman faces it, she shows humility. She encounters this trial of faith by clinging to God's promises revealed in Holy Scripture. She ignores her experiences and trusts that the Lord will deliver her from her affliction, because it's His duty as the Messiah. We need that sort of trust when we face demons. We need humility like the woman who says, "Lord, help me." There's no cleverness to her prayer. It's as simple as a child's prayer. And we pray this prayer in the Kyrie at the beginning of the service. We pray, "Lord, help me." And in the patience and perseverance of faith, we wait for the Lord to address our needs. The Kyrie isn't just a confession of sins, but it's a recognition that we are weak. And because we're weak, we have needs. And we need someone to help in our time of need. And though our experiences may suggest otherwise, our faith trusts in God. Even though our experiences may suggest that God doesn't care for our needs, our faith still trusts in God, that He is loving and merciful and provides for our every need through the gift of His Son on the cross. God answers all our needs of body and soul ultimately through the cross, where we are brought into life eternal with Him in heaven, where every tear is wiped away and the pain of suffering a life absent from God's provisions is gone. and through our times of suffering here on earth. Faith hopes in what God has on the other side of suffering. It's like Paul says, we boast in our sufferings, sort of like the athlete who brags about going through a difficult workout, going through all that pain of the workout with the perseverance necessary to perform well down the road. That's why we fast during Lent, to train, to endure, to persevere. We prepare for hard times in advance. We take on voluntary disciplines not to impress God or earn salvation, but so that we're trained as good soldiers to fight against the old evil foe, even when it looks like our experience and reason give us something different than what the Lord promised. And in the waiting for the Lord's answer, he strengthens our faith. He certainly will accomplish and fulfill all his promises to us. If he didn't, he wouldn't be a loving and merciful God. But if the scriptures tell us anything, it's that God is faithful to us, that he's loving and merciful, that he's almighty and can provide for all our needs. The silence we sometimes experience tests us, but by the perseverance of faith, we trust that God will work his promises for us despite what the devil, the world, or our sinful flesh leads us to experience. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.